time now to continue our series of election debates. It's hard to believe now we're nearly at May 24th. We're in the Glenties Municipal District, our second part of this debate. There are 13 candidates seeking six seats, and we have six of those candidates with us now. We were supposed to have seven, or not supposed to, we scheduled seven, but Evelyn Sweeney of Fine Gael declined the opportunity to come and speak to us. So we'll start as we have so far during these series of debates, and we'll give our guests an opportunity to, for a minute or so, to introduce themselves to the electorate again, I suppose, and to perhaps express why they believe people should vote for them. So people sat down pretty randomly, so we'll start as we have clockwise and welcome Anthony Molloy. Anthony Molloy, who's standing for Fianna Fáil. A very good morning to you, Anthony, and with 2 days to go by the shout, I suppose, why should people vote for you?
Good morning, Greg, and good morning, listeners, and thanks for having me on the show. I come from Yemagoura, a small townland above the hills of Glengash, and I'm very well aware of how much the country people love the rural way of life. But this comes with a cost: bad state of our roads, poor quality broadband, little or no mobile phone coverage, and the lack of adequate home health provision. I've always been very much involved in my community. I've been chairman of Cumann Lúchlasc Gael Ardan Ratha for 4 years. I've been chairman of the Town Traders for 6 years and involved with various committees, festival committees. I've also managed football teams at all levels, and I'm a member of the County Development Fundraising Committee. The other issues that are close to my heart and have experience of are health and wellbeing, mental health, suicide prevention and awareness, and the scourge of drugs, especially among our young people. And my role as Ambassador of Health and Wellbeing here in Donegal, I am determined to work hard on these issues if elected on Friday. I respectfully ask you for your number one vote or your highest or the next highest preference. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you very much indeed for that. We're also joined, and I'm delighted to say, by Seamus Rogers of Labour. Good morning to you, Seamus.
Good morning.
Tell people why they should be giving you their number one or next highest preference, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm from Arnhembray, and I'm connected with a lot of groups, numerous to mention here, charitable groups at home and abroad, all right. I'm involved with the Senior Citizens Parliament. I'm involved with the RNLI. I'm involved with the GAA, and you name it, all right. And the one thing that stands out for me here is that I'm proud to be a Labour Party candidate, as a party that never had a public representative before tribunals for wrongdoing. And that stands out. Okay, whatever the other faults, that stands out for me there. And I'm involved over a long period with the trade union SUPTU, and I must thank SUPTU for backing me to the hilt in this campaign as well. And I believe that there are a lot of issues there that needs to be addressed, particularly the decline in the rural population. And I believe that you cannot have small villages and towns live without a rural hinterland.
Okay, and we'll tease out a lot of these issues as the hour wears on, but thank you for that. Fianna Fáil's Councillor Enda Boner, good morning to you, Councillor.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you for making your way into us here. It's great to see you again. Why should people be voting for you?
Well, I would like to thank you for having these debates. You told me back about 5 or 6 weeks ago. We didn't have this back in the last election, so I'm very delighted to be here and welcome to the listeners. Basically, I have spent a long life, not as long as Seamus, but a long life helping the people in the west of Donegal. I started off first as a GAA player, playing for my club, Dunloe, and also playing for Rosses Rovers, as represented the Rosses. I played for Donegal, like Anthony, and I've been very active. First of all, I started looking after underage teams when I was a young lad. After my football days were over, I moved then to a golf club where I was a secretary and captain for a long number of years. And I also was involved in politics through the TD in my area. I supported him for 40 years, as did all members of my family. And I'm now in the County Council for the last 20 years. I also served term in the Senate, and I learned a lot, and I have a lot of contacts up there. I would like to continue with the work I've been doing. It's not easy to lay out a plan, because in politics something new can come up every month. But I will fight for the people in my area. There are a lot of things that we're not getting our fair share of in Donegal County Council, and it's experienced politicians that have been there that know where the pitfalls are. So I would like one last chance, because I think I'll be retiring at the end of this term of the council, and I feel good. I'm well able to continue. I'm not able to go out and play football now, but I'm able to fight my corner for my area.
All right. We'll also welcome now, and I'll just go this way. I don't want to break up those of the same party, so I'm skipping a little bit, if that's OK. Welcome into studio Brian Carr of Sinn Féin. Brian, a minute or so.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning, listeners, and thanks for having us all here. My name is Brian Carr, and I'm one of three Sinn Féin candidates in the Glenties Municipal Districts. I fall into the category of a local community activist. I have been active in Glenties for several years now, promoting, helping and improving the area. And as you and Highland Radio know as well, I would be the local voice for the town in both good and in bad times. Some of the projects that I would have been involved in heavily and delivered in the town would be the Save Loch Anna, would be one of the biggest one, where groups from Ardra and Glenties came together to fight the decommissioning, and we won. And it's with the success, we have now one of the best drinking source waters in the country. The reinstatement of the Monty Boyle Bridge, which took a few years, the hub, the enterprise units, community tax alert, but that's just a few of the things that have done. It's just after weeks on the canvas and talking to people on the doorsteps, I've heard all the local issues that are in the areas and the people want addressed. The usuals: infrastructure, roads, footpath and lighting, jobs, youth, the elderly. It's down. And one of the main, supporting local groups and communities as well. And one of the main things that I have a big time for is the tourism.
Okay.
The list goes on, and each issue is important as the next.
And I
ask you on the 24th to go out and vote Brian Carr and give me a chance to address all these local issues.
Okay, Brian, good man. And independent councillor Micheál Colm-McGillan Aspect. Good morning to you.
Greg, Timothy.
You've a minute or so if you wish to use it to explain to people why they should return you to the council.
Kira the Boylum Sarasan and Gramagas Funyan Jashortu, Huchishakaji, Highland Radio for Hunya. Ma kol har mahanchen katiwa ma sasu fanyan te hancha da te hanta na glanti kajam lemordan rodi te janta kom sala fatan na copper lan fobol watsarum an the holyar we ma got a politics their prisonery their ashila tisoka maleklia van lakan van hanta likelier and I'd like to thank Kylan for this opportunity to put my case across here. I've been working as a political activist for a very, very long time. I was very lucky to grow up in a very highly political and active family. Seamus here to my right here would be a cousin of my own, a first cousin of my father's. And I suppose I went to Dublin many years ago to go into the construction as a bricklayer, and I ended up falling into, I suppose, Ballymun, working with young ones and street gangs, and kind of developed my passion for community development, and then progressed into working with the Help Board out in the Laggan on family support and so on and so forth, and moved home. And working at home and doing different individual projects, like setting up the Campaign Won't Pay campaign with others, I don't have this notion that everything that I worked at was done by me. I worked with others to deliver different things. And I will continue to do that in terms of fighting for the creche in Gador, post offices, and just a load of different things. And more importantly, working with individuals. I've learnt a lot. I've done a few mistakes. I think I've learnt from the mistakes. I've admitted the mistakes. You won't always get it right. And if I get this opportunity, use this opportunity, I suppose, just to say to anybody that have contacted me over this last couple of weeks, I don't think there's really many, if any at all, that have missed. And okay. I'm sorry to contact me. But on the 24th, which is this Friday, I want to continue. I need the number one vote. and I'm asking you to give us that number one vote to continue to be that thorn in the side of what I believe to be a quite a Corsi cartel within the council by majority, not all, but by the majority. Okay. So if they could give me the number one vote and a number two vote for Liam White and Ardara.
Okay, John Seamus O'Ferry of Sinn Féin, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks very much, Councillor, for calling in.
Good morning, good to Greg. To file to Roman John, you. First of all, I'm a sitting councillor for Sinn Féin for the last 5 years. Before that, I was a community activist all my life in the local community. I do the local bingos regularly on a weekly basis. I do church gig collections, so I haven't changed. I haven't forgot where I came from. And the 5 years that I've been to the council, I have helped a lot of people in delivering community projects and stuff like that, and funding provided to groups in the area. I cover from the Crawley Bridge to the log cabin in Creasla, and I have a lot of work done. I'm a native Irish speaker. I'm on so many committees in the council at the moment, roads, housing, Cosh and Gaelicay, which I have a very passionate in relation to the language, yeah. And the services that the council provide for people that are using the language, that they can use it in when corresponding with the council and working with the council as well. So also I work with youth. I left Aughin and Gaeltacht for the last 1.5 years, and I've been promoting youth clubs in the area and child protection and organising activities for youth clubs. Unfortunately, I don't think I will be going back if I get elected, because I'm far too busy working for the people on the ground out there. So on the 24th, I'm asking you for your support and your number one vote, and for me to continue the work that I have done for the last 5 years.
Okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. Councillor Enda Bonar, as a sitting councillor, you know, we're inundated here and other media outlets, I'm sure, as well, with complaints about roads, housing, water. Can the councillors of your municipal district deliver for the people of your area, do you believe?
Yes, we can. The inadequacies of Donegal County Council over the last 5 years can be addressed. In relation to water, and there's a lot of issues in John Hamish's side of the constituency in relation to the water or the electoral area, there'll have to be a change in this approach that Irish Water are taking. For them to be meeting councillors before a council meeting in Lifford is not sufficient. And indeed, I asked for a report about 9 months ago for what work they were going to carry out in the Glenties area, and I haven't still got it. I had many meetings with them, but in other issues, certainly the question of the roads. I mean, I know more than anybody about the roads, because I was a senator when I was up with the National Roads Authority for the plan over the next 20 odd years, that time back in 99, and we succeeded eventually. It took a lot of talking to get the N56 addressed, and thank God now we're going to have one of the nicest roads in the county. I have people from this side of the county coming out asking, what power have we? We have no power any more than the other councillors, it's just that we fought for it and we got it. Mm. The big issue is the local improvement scheme roads, and I was in Guido yesterday, and it really came to home to me all the back roads that are in the Guido parish, and an awful lot of them have small gravel lanes.
In those conversations, obviously, and you would have heard from your party leader Micheál Martin yesterday, there is some controversy over one road up to the Kirlocks house. Is that coming up for you on the doorstep? And if so, what are you saying to these? What are you saying to these people?
Very much yesterday it was coming up, and I'm saying that the councillors at their meeting, we were all at the one meeting when this was put in front of us. The system has changed, of course, than what it was, and I think.
Have you a problem with that LAS allocation?
Well, I would have a problem with it now, but at the time I didn't know where it referred to.
Does anyone else want to? LAS roads. We'll go round this way, Greg. So and get everyone in. Councillor Micheál Colum.
Of course, I have a difficulty. I have a difficulty first and foremost with LAS and pitiful allocation of money that the Dublin government, the state, gives to us. It's crumbs off a plate. and you're raising people's expectations. But in terms of the question that you're asking about the Cahill assumes they don't get an LIS, I just want to be very, very clear about that. About this, I know that meeting. I remember that meeting. I remember when that road came up. I asked the Cahilla, did he know that road? And I asked the Cahilla, was it a road that really needed doing? And it was stated clearly to me that yes, that they knew it, that they knew the road, and that the road really needed doing. And I just want to be clear about that there, because this idea that we all agreed to get this road done is not true. I am getting it at the door. I'm getting it very strongly at the door. And I don't think it's fair. If Seamus got that road done and it was within his right to get it done, you know, under the terms and conditions, and I'm not questioning that there, but I just think that that for anybody to use, if I wouldn't, I have a road.
But you're entitled to.
I have a herd number myself because I don't have it at the moment, but I usually keep pigs. There's a number of people living on the road. I wouldn't even contemplate.
Why not? You're entitled to.
Because I wouldn't, because there are roads out there that are far worse. There are roads out there that have been in an awful shape, undriveable, some of them, for years, and I just don't think it was morally right. But also the question needs to be asked is, how many other people have benefited?
Hold on, let me finish this, Greg, please.
This is very important at the doorstep in West Donegal. How many other councillors have benefited from this, not just in the West, but throughout the county? How many family members have got LISs? And I think maybe it's a case that we need to move away from the way that we're allocating LIS and leave it to maybe Central Lifford and that we don't have any influence over it as councillors.
Right, OK. But you invite the media to have to make that information public. Do you have information in that regard?
Do I have
information of other councillors that have benefited directly or indirectly?
Yes, of course I do. Okay. Yeah, look, I'll tell you what. Ask anybody. But people can easily go on. And I requested, as former councillor John Campbell has requested, that these lists would be made public. This is public money. And I do believe that not everybody in the council is corrupt. And I think that the people should have a right to know how their money's been spent and who's getting it.
Everyone's going to come in on this one. We'll go sort of kind of clockwise, anti-clockwise here. Labour's Seamus Rogers.
Yeah, this came to light, I suppose, some time back, but it was copper fastened by the Sunday Business Post last Sunday. And I would ask all councillors and candidates to state that they would dissociate themselves from this bloody culture that we thought we buried long ago. And I take it you should do that in order to safeguard the community. I was a founder of the Islands Committee, and I'm trying for the last few years to go over our road for the county, 100,000 spent on it by Run the Gaeltachta, and yet they have refused. And Seamus O'Donnell was the proposer of a motion to amend the taking over of roads, the regulations and the conditions on it. He was the proposer of that, not to take over cul-de-sac roads. And here we have a situation, no, it's LIS, but he gets a road, a cul-de-sac road himself. I have no objection to his families and have lands and all of that. But by God, you know, he should have stood up and said that there could be a conflict of interest here. And that's not happening. And I take it that the people in Arranmore Island are disgusted by the carry on here, and we need to bury that. That's not good enough. I've raised its head in the past, but I thought we were past the post there, and I would appeal to the councillors and candidates now to issue a statement. Maybe I know that they weren't. Okay. But the one thing that disappoints me, when this amendment was made to the taking over of roads, not one councillor objected, swallowed it by the proposal by Seamus O'Donnell. It was to be reviewed in a year's time. Nothing happened.
Okay, Seamus Rogers of Labour, thank you. Now to Anthony Molloy Fianna Fáil. Good morning to you, Anthony, again.
I have known Seamus a long time, Greg, and very capable councillor. Seamus O'Donnell. Seamus O'Donnell. We're talking about Seamus O'Donnell's case here.
No problem.
I've known Seamus a long time, a very capable councillor, and has done excellent work this year alone in his role as Lord Mayor of Donegal. And He's been a great help to me since I'd made my intentions clear of going for the council. And Seamus is not here, first of all, to defend himself. Mm-hmm. And everybody deserves due process, I believe. Now, I'd like to think that we are all equal in this country, and whether as a public representative or individual, and we have the same rights as everyone else. And I'd also like to think, because you're a councillor, that it doesn't separate you from the rest of your community as well. Now, just going back again, and I think as issues we're talking about here, roads are by far is the biggest single issue.
We'll come to that, right? I'll just want to point out that Seamus was in studio with us, and we put that to him, and he had an opportunity to.
But he's not here today, Greg.
By the way, I have a copy of the regulations here, and it states clearly that a householder must sign. And that didn't, to my opinion,
happen. Okay, sorry for leaving you guys last, but of course, give everyone an opportunity. Brian Carr, Sinn Féin.
I've been hearing on the doors this time is the LIS scheme. It gives people a false sense of expectations that the road's going to be done. There has to be some kind of a new system. I don't know. I've only, as I said, on the doors, I've only come across it in the last couple of weeks. But everybody thinks that their road has been measured. It must be on the top of the list. When's my road going to be done? That's the expectations that they have. So the council has to sit down. Like, there's only 30,000 allocated from Fintown to Burtonport, and there's two roads going to be done this year, from what I hear. So it has to be changed about some way, and it has to get some kind of a new tiered system. I don't know whether I'm trying to make it easier for councillors or for that, but it's easier for people on the doors, meeting people on the doors, and as I said, their expectations is way high that my road's going to be done because it was measured, and that's not fact at all.
Okay, a caller says the councillors don't decide what roads are done. It's not their fault. If a road gets done, the engineers make that decision, which is the truth.
Hold on here. That's right and it's not. There's a bit of both. Like, and there's three councillors sitting around here, and they'll tell you that we all sit down and we all look at it. By right, the engineers are. But there are certain influence that councillors do.
I'm not saying
over
that in this case.
So to say that it's just down to engineers, that's not the case. Okay. That's not my experience anyway. And the rest can.
Okay, John Seamus O'Farrell.
It gives a bad impression on elected representatives, public representatives, that this is happening, and especially in the media at the weekend. Seamus Donald is a hard-working councillor, but I believe it's into the Ethics Committee now, and SIPO, as they have done in the past, investigated the likes of John O'Donnell and Breanan Donnell and other councillors down through the years, and I'm sure it'll get to the bottom of it if there's have been any rules or regulations broken. But in relation to the engineers sorting the roads out, in case councillors have a discretion in conjunction with the engineer, if there's a special circumstance on the road, somebody that's living there with a heart condition on the roads and a bad deterioration, we can say to the engineer, yeah, we want that road fixed or something like that. No, but
end of owner.
Sorry, Greg. The system used to be different in the past, where it was allocated whatever money was available between the six in our area, the six councillors. And Seamus was there too, and I'm sure you lobbied for many to one, Seamus, to look to get their
road.
Not
for my own. I used my own money to tar my own road.
I'm not talking about your
If
own
I
road.
Was eligible, even I wouldn't but go
problem,
near it.
The problem is, Greg, there's such a backlog because there wasn't any for 10 years and there's such a shortness of money. Okay. But all I'll say is that it is technically the engineers that are responsible now.
So the texture was right and wrong at the same time. Brian Carr, Sinn Féin, this is the problem a lot of people are listening to, that unfortunately we have to discuss. I know, Anthony, you're quite right in what you say, but this is a big issue now this week. Brian, people will say, well, it's typical that, you know, the first 15 minutes of this discussion has been taken up by a decision that has to be investigated. There's no suggestion of impropriety, but we're not talking about really the things that affect people. And is that the problem with politics in this country now, today still, and maybe not least here in County Donegal?
Yeah, well, the issues at the door is what I'm dealing with. Mm. That's Greg. Is that what you're trying to get me the answer?
Yeah,
it's just the issues at the door. I haven't come across, because it's not my party that was involved.
No, we'll move
in this
past that now.
Yeah, right. Well, it's all the issues at the door, but it is roads. Roads is one of the major
things. Do people in Glenties feel particularly neglected?
They have done this last while. They have done this last while, yes. The roads in Glenties, the infrastructure in general around, like there's five housing estates and they all have the same problems with footpaths, with roads, with street lighting and everything. You know, we haven't had much input. Whatever input that has come in the last year, couple of years, has been down to the Glenties Development Group, and I'm chairperson of that, and we have pushed and pushed and pushed for infrastructure to be done. Jobs-wise, we had an enterprise unit just opened
stay
up a
on
few...
That, stay on that important issue there. Enda Bonner, you're shaking your head.
Yeah, I am, because since I was elected on the last occasion, there's been no Fianna Fáil councillor in Glenties. Terence Lowy has been a councillor, but he's Fine Gael. And we had no Fianna Fáil councillor in Gaedore either. That means that I've had to service the Glenties area and service the Dunlow area and also part of the Gaedore area. So it's a big, heavy workload when you have all that area to cover. But all I can say is, listen to Brian there, you would think that he was the only one that ever done anything for the Glenties. I covered Glenties for many a year with LISs, with fixing roads. I have contacts up there that come on to me about roads. But there was three items he mentioned earlier. Save Lohanna. It was me that put forward the proposal that Lohanna eventually got in conjunction with a colleague, Fianna Fáil supporter of mine, Raymond Brennan in Glenties.
Okay.
Mullanty Boyle Bridge, they fought very hard for Mullanty Boyle Bridge, but it was a visit by the minister to Mullanty Boyle by the local Fine Gael organisation that got that. And the final one is the Enterprise Centre. I've been doing accounts for that Enterprise Centre for the last 20-odd years. And I'm now on the County Enterprise Fund Board. And when Francis Brennan brought it to the County Enterprise Fund Board, I helped to get it funded, and the Enterprise members all agreed to it.
We're going to bring everybody in here, but Brian, just to solve this Glenties issue.
Yes, just to come back to the three things that I mentioned as part of the thing. That's three of the things I could have mentioned. I didn't say it was just me that done these things. I was part of a different, a bigger group.
With respect, there was, you did at the beginning, Brian, now in fairness.
Sorry, no, I said...
Individually, you said it wasn't politicians, it was the community.
Yeah, as an introduction, let me finish, please. I have good respect for you, Brian, for your work, because I've followed you for a good couple of years.
Some of the projects I was heavily involved in, I said. I was heavily involved in. It's written there.
Well, it's kind of semantics.
Last one before bringing Anthony in here. Yes, I was involved in groups that delivered for all those. I led out on the Save Lohanna thing.
Really, what you were saying is it was the community that delivered, not politicians.
Yes. It was the community. That's correct. That's what I'm exactly saying. So I don't know why you brought up that.
We can move past that then. Anthony Molloy?
Yeah, can I just get in here? But, you know, we came here today like to talk about issues, right? I think we're a half an hour talking. We haven't got past two issues so far. Look at it. And one thing we're forgetting as well, Brian, Councillor Terence Lowy played a big, big hand in both them projects as well that you're talking about there. And I would just like to do this opportunity as well to wish Councillor Terence Lowy all the best in his retirement. Now, on my campaign, and had a very comprehensive canvas, I have to say, over 7 weeks, roads is by far the biggest single issue. Like, we do depend on our road networks. Like, we don't have rail, we don't have loos, and the likes that Dublin and other people have, right? Awesome. Now, the other thing too that I came across as well on my canvas, and I think the NRA needs to work more closely with the council and our communities. I came across two other road issues, right? St Mary's National School and Scott Pubble Gaedore. They're waiting for months, like for traffic calming. Now, do we have to wait for a fatality or a bad accident for something to be done about this? It's a big issue. And we tend to have meetings after meetings, and it takes it takes far too much time to get something.
Too much red tape.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's too much red tape, I think, involved with LIS schemes as well, as regarding herd numbers and the likes as well.
Okay. Seamus Rogers.
Just look, Enda, you're a one-man show. I was a one-man show over a long time, representing the same area from Doncaster to the Nickin or the Ra, and from Arranmore to Ballinamore. And I take it, okay, I was responsible, the only councillor who proposed a law for the public services office. It was backed by another councillor from outside the area. There were other councillors missed on the day, and some then argued for it should be set up. But as well as that, I'm familiar as well with the Glentis area and Ardara area over a long time. I was there last night and people were telling me, OK, we remember what you did for us, the Wather to Tully Clave and all to this down through the years. I worked hard for Ardara, Glentis.
So you'll think and you'll the do good in that little pocket?
No problem. You know that people appreciate that help they got there. Okay. And I take it again that the offshore islands getting a raw deal, Minister Ring never ring fenced any LIS monies for the islands.
Ironically,
and,
maybe.
I know Anthony is okay gathering Fine Gael votes there, but that's a miniature show
like the national, a few years in the game, caught you out there.
Seamus. Caution, the Terence Lowy votes. Terence Lowy played a master part in the Multi Boyle Bridge. You know, that was discussed earlier on, Seamus. That's a chip shot. Come on, Seamus.
I'm only saying.
But in fairness, you are looking for Terence Lowy's votes, and that's, I'd say,
he said that was his motivation, so we have.
Can I make one thing clear here, Seamus? Let's not mix national politics with local politics.
Well, that's inevitable, Anthony. You can't.
Hold on. Here's this is where the problem.
I'm here if elected to make genuine representation for everybody across the board in my area, and it doesn't matter what political background you are.
This is where the problem lies here.
Anthony, who represents Fianna Fáil, right, and says that we shouldn't be talking about national policies, right?
Politics.
What you said there earlier on was that you said the biggest issue that was coming up, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that was roads, right? Yeah. Now, why don't we have proper road infrastructure? Very much so because your own party that you represent, what their ideology, which is neoliberalism, which caused the crash, which then in failure, and then because of that there, because they choose to give money to banks, to give money to very wealthy people over to look after the interest of all us, the working class here in Donegal, then determines then the money we get, then we determines the money then we get as a council. Now you can put up your hand all you want, but that is the fact, and you cannot separate yourself from the very fact of the policy of your own party. And the policy of your own party has left us where we are today.
John Seamus O'Ferry wanted to come in.
Just in relation to the LIS schemes, we haven't enough money from government and the previous governments, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, both have neglected in this scheme since 2011. And the lack of funding that's coming now, the roads are infrastructure are falling in the back roads in Western Donegal and all over Donegal, and it's due to lack of funding by previous governments.
Is it particularly in the Glentis area, though? We do have roads issues, but is it a particular problem in the Glentis area for lack of investment in the? I mean,
It's a county-wide. There's money being invested now in the N56 in the last number of years, but we waited 40 or 50 years for that. In Gidor, in my own area, we're waiting for the next number of days for a contract to be signed to start the sewer scheme. We're waiting for that for 40 years, lack of investment again, and only for Matt Carthy and Piers Doherty bringing that to Europe. That wouldn't have happened. So
John,
and I remember I was only in the Senate 2 wet weeks when I was coming to over at the Grotto over at Archbegs there, and I heard Denny McGinley on the radio announcing the Gidor Sewer Scheme. That's 40 odd years ago. And all I can say on that is that Pat the Cope was out in Europe at that time, and the following year he announced funding from Europe, and at least I got Glentis and Dunloe off the ground. But I'm very worried about Gidor, the way things are going, and I'm not so sure whether John Havens will be as positive if the contract is not signed. But the other thing I wanted to say that Micheál Colum was raising there, and I don't want to raise another issue in this debate about the collapse of the country back in 2008, but it's very easy to throw a shot at the government of the time. The government were doing their best, but it was people outside the government that caused the fall. And I'm dealing with I'm dealing with finance for a long, long number of years.
Okay. We can't, we're not going to, I mean, yeah, both of you can have your opinion, and we can't actually debate what caused the crash.
And we often do.
You're both on the record saying that you believe that the government gets too much sort of blame, and you would say they're fully to blame. Brian hasn't come in on this one, Seamus, so I want to make sure if you have an opportunity on this. There's so much there, I don't know what you actually want to talk about.
There's so many different things, and just I want to go back to just reiterate again. I didn't say at the start that I delivered all these things.
No, I
said collective. It was collective.
You said that, and I backed you up on that, that you said that it was the community that delivered and not necessarily politicians, and I think that's recorded there. Seamus, what did you want to...
We accept that.
Yes. Pardon?
We accept that.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine. That's grand.
But I know it's something that's on the back of your head, so you can put that to bed.
That's grand. Thank you.
Is that right, Brian?
Thank you.
By the way, Seamus Rogers. The sewerage scheme in Annagry, I promised it had an election and it was delivered in one of the smallest villages in the county, I suppose. And I'm glad that that happened all right. And that's just on record, and I think it'll be a monument to my memory.
In relation to the islands, and they've been mentioned a few times, Anthony Molloy, Fianna Fáil. The islands are very, very important. I don't know, Brian, or whomever, the further you are from the coastline, does it affect the representation? Because people on the islands have, you know, felt underrepresented for decades, and it was only a very recent sort of campaign, and we gave it a big push here on Highland that actually started getting those island meetings back going again, if the truth be told. And in fairness, it might have been myself and yourself, Seamus, that had that conversation.
And I'm glad that I founded the forum. Good at man. Least okay. It gives a voice at council level. Good to man. The
and it says it's worthwhile
to the islanders.
But Anthony, is that something that's on your radar, the islands, as well? Because they're right smack bang around your constituency.
We should be equal citizens. We should have the same rights as the people of Dublin, right? And there's a lot of money spent in Dublin on Lewis, and like, we're looking for services, basic services like broadband, which the islands need. Rural Ireland, rural Donegal needs it. Like, so, yeah, we should be treated, and we've a right to be treated as equal citizens.
See, the broadband thing is mucked up over the years. They should have given it to the ESB, a company that's recognised worldwide and could deliver as they delivered rural electrification.
Brian, that's the policy. On the islands, go ahead.
Just the islands, like you mentioned, Bishop and Anthony, were about the islands. Well, the islands, they are... Our constituency is divided up into three by Sinn Féin at the moment. Mm. I'm from Guibara South. Mary Therese is from Guibara to Crawley, and John Hamish. So two colleagues of mine would be more in tune with the islands. People on the islands wouldn't even know me.
Yeah.
You know, so that's, geographically.
I wonder if that's part of the problem.
Well, geographically.
Not from Sinn Féin's perspective, but generally in politics.
Yeah, that's why we have three candidates in each area. So when each area will be well represented, we can sit down and have a conversation.
But what if the other two don't get elected?
Well, they're going to. They're going to.
You know what I mean?
They're going to.
Well, I just like to think that as somebody that's really passionate about the islands and who has been working with the majority of the islands from Tory to Armagh to Oi to all of them, most of them right across, I think it's really, really important that all councillors are relevant, and recognising that John Hamish is also the chairperson at the moment of the Islands Committee. But for me, it's just the islands are important in terms of, like as Anthony was saying there, about having that everybody's treated equally. But unfortunately, the way that the state and our society's actually constructed, that is not the case, that there is no, there isn't that equality that people talk about.
John Seamus, would you agree or disagree?
Just
John Seamus,
in relation to the islands, 500,000 investment happens in the islands every year. And when I proposed earlier on in the year, when I came back from the CPMR, that there would be a delegation or a delegate elected from the Islands Committee onto this committee, which has hands-on in Europe in relation to island issues. Islands are very important because in relation to tourism, and there's a culture there, and there's a huge community like Satori Island, which has two schools, a hotel, and a huge influx of tourism, and they need the proper infrastructure. We could sit here and talk about the advantages and disadvantages. At the moment, on Tory Island, there's no fire engine. We're talking about that for the last 5 years since we went to the council, and we're trying to secure that. Gold Island, we're trying to get funding as well for Gold Island, the road infrastructure.
Well, let me ask that question, and I'll move it around. Enderbonar, the fire service is the council runs the fire service. How can councillors not have delivered a fire engine to Tory Island in 5 years? I mean, if I'm sitting out there going, like, lads, seriously, there's not another part of this county that would be allowed to persist. And yet it's, I'm not saying it's allowed to, but how can it be so important to the people of Tory, like something, a life-saving piece of equipment that the council actually are in charge of? How can that not be delivered at this point?
Well, when I came on the council first, we had a very good fire officer in charge, Frank Caran, and he set out a programme, and practically all of the fire stations have been, new fire stations have been delivered, except the row that's going on up in Ballyshannon and Bundoran. And also, we had a new fire station opened in Arranmore. But at the last review of the fire services at Donegal County Council, we all spoke up, Mary Thays, John Hamish, myself, Neil Collin.
United, you spoke up.
Yes, we were united. In relation to the effort that's there in Tory, the equipment sitting on the back of a tractor trailer in this day and age. Secondly, Arranmore, the fire station wasn't substantial enough. It wasn't modern enough, and there's a lot of difficulty there.
And are fires on Arranmore still treated inequally to those on the mainland, I wonder? Is that still persist?
Because the fire service men that are available in Arranmore are not getting the same allowance remuneration-wise.
Well, not all of them.
Yeah. Some of them. John Seamus, and I'll bring Seamus Rogers and Anthony in again there, and Brian.
Just in relation to islands as well, Rinne Gaeltacht that have responsibility for islands, and the last number of years they haven't been coming forward with proper funding or any type of funding, in my opinion, in relation to islands infrastructure, and this is not acceptable. We're looking at a huge investment in the islands, and they have a responsibility, so this has to be tackled, whoever the next elected councillors are in the Glenties Municipal District. We know that the problems that are there. We met with Joe McHugh a number of years ago. Nothing has happened. Okay. And if you see from the mainland, you have to have a pier to go to the likes of Maharoti. We're dredging that every second, three or four times a year.
There's work
proposed for it.
So there could be some progress. I just think I've been in a lot of council meetings, and it's not often you hear motions about the islands at the meetings. Not often you hear, but you might dispute this. Councillor Micheál Colum, before we take a break, and then Seamus and Anthony.
Look, I've been very involved in the islands and very passionate about the islands over the years, and I suppose I'm lucky enough to be on the Board of Management of Corcommon Arranmore. And we've been looking very much to try to develop that foreshore project, the lighthouse project, and also the road out to lighthouse. Yeah. Equally has Tory Island has, but unfortunately to date, the Ring hasn't announced any funding to be opened up to allow us to apply for different projects. And I suppose I was very lucky a couple of years ago where I invited Minister, Cain, Sean Cain, Joe McEwen. There was a big delegation, and from that there, we got a massive, biggest allocation for roads in a very long time, and it's important our islands are well looked after.
Anthony Malloy, then Seamus.
I'll just go back in again. Fire prevention is a big issue, and Arranmore deserve these services like everybody else.
Tory. Yeah. Just a point, talking about fire services and this road I mentioned there, and I have a letter from the GP there. On this road, the doctor is there. Fire services might not be available, okay, or able to access that if that road now deteriorates. Again, the lifeboat and the ambulance service, and here, and as well as that, there are quite a number of accommodation roads in Arranmore. One grant on the LIS down by the cemetery, and I know that I policed in the past monies granted to the islands and all to that, and I could paper the walls here with the fact that I policed all monies from Rinne Gaeltacht and LIS.
And I appreciate that. And you're standing on your record as well as what you're planning.
Taken over by the council.
Brian Carr of Sinn Féin. A lot of people are very frustrated with housing and this notion. It's not a notion. It's a fact that there are vacant houses in the control of the council, even some that have been done up, some that seem to be ready to be allocated. But at the same time, we have a housing list, vacant properties, and we can't seem to marry the two. Is that something you're getting a lot?
Yeah, I have come across a few people that have, a good few people that there's, I know there's One family on the waiting list 10 years. They were on it for 5 years, taken off it again because they've moved, and they moved back into the area, and they're on it 10 more years, or 5 more years, that's 10. And there's another family on the waiting list for 7 years. The housing, going around the house, the whole countryside, there's empty vacant houses everywhere. But the council have some kind of a grading scheme that they, for an individual, they put X amount of money towards a house, and you know, for two occupants, three occupants, or bigger families, and they're not spending the money on the older houses. What I've been told down through the years, that they would rather go to a greenfield site and start and try and build new houses, which is not happening in the country at the moment, we all know, rather than take these older houses and do them up to the right standard that they have. Because if any house, a council house, has been vacated at the moment, the council move in, they do up, they have to put in back boilers and new doors and windows and upgrade the house. And seemingly that...
Bringing out good stuff to put seemingly, stuff in.
Yeah, yeah, and seemingly that costs nearly as much as building a new house on a greenfield site. Mm. And that's why a lot of people are angry with these houses that are sitting not being used and not done up.
Micheál Colm, you're shaking your head.
No, I'm shaking my head, not necessarily in what Brian's saying there. I'm shaking my head is because the frustration of that the families and individuals who are experiencing the issue of not having their own home, and actually even homelessness. I would do a lot of work, and I'm sure others do, what housing. I'm on an SPC of housing, but there's an issue of homelessness within our constituency, and that's very frustrating. But the system itself doesn't work, because when somebody vacates a house, then we apply for central funds to pay for it, and then they outsource it to, they tender it out, and then by the time the contract comes in, where I'm a great believer in that we need to be having direct employment, and there's an issue in terms there of time, and that's very frustrating for a lot of families. And I think that what we need to be doing is that the state needs to be having a pot there, that we don't have to wait that whole time for the government to give us the money, that we can move ourselves and that we are employing directly.
Anthony Molloy, would you agree, disagree? I presume housing is something that comes up and has come up over your several weeks.
Exactly, yeah. Housing is an issue, like, and I think Micheál said, like, we have to provide funding, like, for this issue as well, like, locally. And there's a lot of people on the waiting list, Greg.
Mm. There's a revenue, though, in Debonair from renting houses. I mean, there's an income, there's a profit. Why is that not spent on quickly turning over these vacated properties and getting someone new into them?
Well, there's one thing that I have learned about Donegal County Council compared to the private sector, the slowness of doing this. But the money is reinvested. But there's a lot of myth going around about housing too. For example, Ardra now has got 8 new houses in this last term, but now there's 1939 on the waiting list in Ardra. But in reality, if you look at the waiting list, half of them are transferees, people that are looking to get transferred to a higher council house than the one they're in. But surely if they're going to be leaving the house, that house is then available for somebody else. So I don't believe the myth. Now we have...
Why is that not tidied up, though, so we have a clear picture?
Well, that's the way they do the figures.
Okay.
I came across a sample there as well. Like, we have to look at the allocation of these houses. We have to look at the allocation of these houses and who gets these houses, because I've come across a situation where people were offered housing and didn't take these houses that were available to them.
We have the highest... Micheál Colm's indicating a small amount of people. We have the highest rate of refusals in the entire country. Seamus Rogers,
but
go ahead.
It's not that simple, though, to say that people are just refusing houses just for the sake of it.
Really, we fell down on the housing issue. Anybody who's run Canvas, and there's so many houses closed and holiday homes and all to that, and the government are not getting a grip of this. The Labour Party, proposed 10 billion over 5 years to build 80,000 houses, social housing. There are no leadership there. Now, this turnkey thing, in the past at least, there were in the areas and it anchored people to the rural areas, schemes, and I could name them all in the Glenties electoral area, and that's gone, and it's lacks leadership.
John Seamus O'Ferry of Sinn Féin.
Well, for the amount of money they're spending on the HAP scheme since it was induced, it's incredible, making landlords richer and richer.
But landlords don't want to be involved in the HAP scheme. That's a bit of a myth because they're being regulated out of it. It's landlords are actually leaving. So if because of the amount of regulation, tick boxing and everything.
But you have to have regulations there for security and safety. And if you look at Dublin, the high cost of living and the high rates that they're charging there, people are moving back to Donegal because it's far
What's
cheaper.
Your solution, then?
My solution is to invest more money in housing and get it back on the road. I mean, this year we're only going to build 12,000 in each municipal district, which is not good enough. So something has to happen.
Micheál Colum, you
over the next
to come
number
in there?
Of months.
No, I'm just not sure what that means. We all know we have to invest more money into housing, but I'm not sure what that exactly means. What I think that needs to happen is that the state needs to start buying up land. The state needs to stop looking towards the private market in terms of feeding the housing or to look after the housing needs, and that's what capitalism is, and that's what the state does, and that's the same policy both Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, have and others, is to look after the interest of the private landlords.
Brian, do
the
you want to find a word on that?
Yeah, it's just exactly. Everybody was saying the same thing. We need more funding.
But this is what's frustrating. Brian hasn't. In fairness, I think he's probably got less time than most. So I want
The same. Like they have affordable housing in areas that the money has to be found to build these things. There's numbers bandied about there about 9 houses and 12 houses, but the waiting list, as I said, those people in Glenties. And if houses are built in areas too that maybe the schools are struggling to get more families into them and help schools in every different way as well. You know, there's a lot of different communities in the county as well, and the Glenties area I've heard from, that the schools are affected and because there are not enough housing in them areas. So that's what one follows the other, and the council need to sit down and work out a good plan for that.
Listen, that's where we have to leave it, unfortunately. And I know all of you have issues that are incredibly important to you that we haven't got through, but unfortunately the time doesn't permit. But I suppose half a loaf is better than no bread at all. We wish you all the very best on Friday. Get out and vote, people. Isn't that the message? Everyone needs people to get out and there. Vote and use your preference. Vote your brief.
Or Liam White.
I'm seeking number one votes from Arnmore to Ballinamore and from Doncaster.
I'm going to have to go around the whole table. Like, what townlands are you folks on, James Seamus?
Plenty south of the Guevara for Brian Carr. Number one.
Anthony, very nice.
I've got on Chesna, Seamus. On Chesna, which is way in past Glengash. Beautiful area. And right on down to Aidan and Funtown, Rosbeg, down to the Guevara.
Liam White's been looking after well for years.
And the bonus saying nothing. He must have canvassed well. He doesn't have to give a shout.
And by the way, I'm relying on the areas and the people that I have looked after for the last 22 years.
So you want them to vote on your record?
And I want to vote for me on my record. And I want to have 5 more years.
All right, okay. Listen, gents, thanks very much for that. John Seamus O'Ferry, Brian Carr, Enda Boner, Anthony Molloy, Seamus Rogers, Micheál Colum, McGill and Esbeg. All of you, thank you so much for calling in.